This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man-made.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fossils dating to 10,000 BCE have been found on the Mediterranean island today known as Cyprus. Its early inhabitants built a distinct culture prior to the arrival of Greek settlers in the late Bronze Age of the 2nd millennium BCE, which set off a chain of rule by outside forces, as the Assyrians, Egyptians, Persians, Romans, Arabs, French, Venetians, and Ottomans each took turns as colonial stewards, culminating in the Cyprus Convention of 1878 CE, where governorship of the island was secretly handed to the United Kingdom. After the First World War, with Cyprus's population divided between ethnic Greeks and Turks, the island became a chess piece in conflicts between the two still icy nations, though Cyprus finally achieved sovereignty in 1960. Around the time, the Havadjis family welcomed their three sons into the world. The trio of Havadjis boys grew up on Cyprus, working the fields of the family farm and in the family restaurant before emigrating to the United States, exchanging the coastal lifestyle of the Mediterranean for that of California. As adults, Mike Henry and Chris Havadjis parlayed their food-adjacent upbringing into eatery ownership, first acquiring a branch of local chain Astro Burgers, before charting a path to their own success with the purchase of McCoy's Restaurant in the sleepy town of Paris, California. They rechristened their business to reflect a nickname they'd received rooted in their agrarian childhoods, and their product reflected how they prioritized the farm-fresh ingredients they'd spent their youths cultivating. The chain's offerings, particularly their signature Farmer's Burger, helped them quickly grow to multiple locations before they began to franchise the company, which would vastly expand their footprint. Today, this unique diner-slash-burger stand hybrid has nearly 100 locations across California and Nevada, thanks to these Cypriot brothers who merged the farm-to-table concept with fast food. This week on Doughboys, Farmer Boys. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, alongside my co-host, Saturated Fats Domino, Mitchie Two Spoons, Mike Mitchell.
Saturated Fats Domino?
A little shout out to vintage jazz music, courtesy of Sam Howard, at Scam Coward is his handle. If you have a roast you'd like to use on Mitch at the top of the show, roastspoonman@gmail.com.
Fats Domino, he was a jazz man?
I can't remember. I think Fats Domino was either a jazz guy or a rock and roll guy. He claimed to have invented one of the two. Ooh. I think he might have been a jazz guy. Hold on, I'm going to wait.
Do you think that email is a secret? It's Ryan Gosling's email?
Right, because of his involvement in La La Land. His love of the original American art form.
Or the director, I guess, is a big jazz head.
Yeah, I think Damien Chazelle is the big jazz guy. But I think Gosling did the actual ivory tickling in that movie. Like, he actually played the piano.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I bet you wish he did the Weiger tickling.
Come on.
What? What's wrong with that?
It would be nice to be tickled by Ryan.
You like to get tickled?
I don't like to get tickled. I'm very ticklish. I don't like it.
You almost were a professional tickler.
Okay, let's not get into that. I considered it. I didn't actually do it. Domino
considered it.
Fats Domino was one of the pioneers of rock and roll music. So more rhythm and blues than jazz. I was wrong about that.
Howdy how to Mitchie Two Spoons Nation. Oh, and here's a little drop, Nick.
Somebody was saying this thing about that food. What's that food podcast called? Hamburger Man? Hamburger Men.
Oh.
Burger Boys?
You gotta address it, Liger.
Dough Dogs? Because their show's actually called Dough. What is it? Dough? Dough Boys. One of my favorite SNL skits. Dough Boys. It's called Dough Boys. Dough Boys are saying, we'd love to have Tom on our show. I was like, okay,
what is this version of Killing a Tomato?
I would do their show. for $8,500. For $8,500. For $8,500.
Well, there you have it.
All right. That was fun. Who made that one?
Our friend from Seattle, Justina, and I just realized I don't know how to say your last name. Kolb?
How's it spelled? Cobb?
K-O-L-B. Kolb.
Kolb? That sounds like Kolb.
Yeah, that's what I thought. L's, Justina, hello. Thank you for sending it in. And that was, so wasn't trying to start any trouble, my fellow friends of Tom. So that's Tom Likas, right? Oh, she's at J.Quack.
I think it's Tom Sharpling. Tom Likas is a different guy.
Oh, my God.
Tom Likas is the very misogynistic host.
Oh, no. Now he'll be very mad at us. I fucked up bad.
Well, he got the name of our show wrong repeatedly, so I think it's pretty pretty justified that you got his name wrong.
Did I do that intentionally?
No, I know you. You did not do that intentionally.
Yes, I did. I just have sometimes I have a little slip of the tongue.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, Tom Like... what's it? Tom Sharpling.
Yes.
He called us out, I guess, Nick.
I guess.
You're playing cool about it. You don't want to address it.
Who cares? Who gives a shit? You do some fat, like, manufactured beef with this guy we don't know?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Begun the podcast wars have.
Mitch, let's introduce our guest. From DreamCorp LLC and the new film, The Unicorn, Nick Rutherford is here. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. That's Tom Sharpling. It sounded like Robert Buscemi. Do you know that comic?
Oh, yeah.
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 That's who I thought it was the whole time.
Yeah, it does sound.
Maybe it was like him. I don't know.
But so that means that guy, she took a recording of him talking, like, not talking highly of this podcast?
Yeah, I think it was. I think he's just he's messing around with us. And Weiger, I think, is very angry for some reason.
I'm not very angry.
You seem very angry.
You're pissed, man.
Why do you have a new haircut or is this bedhead?
I was wearing a hat.
Oh, hat head.
And I've also got my cans on. I got my headphones on. So
that's K-Sulb?
CSULB, Cal State University Long Beach.
Sorry, I was reading it backwards in the mirror.
Right.
You went to UCLA?
I went to UCLA, but I have I'm from Long Beach area, so I have this hat as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's very confusing.
I could get rid of it. I'll just start saying I went to Cal State Long. I mean, I didn't graduate from college, so it doesn't matter, really.
You know, not a fan of college.
Mm-hmm.
Famously not a fan. Do you mind just throwing the hat in the trash before you leave today?
No way.
It looks like Sebulba's.
Also, if you have a hat of a college, then aren't you a fan of college?
Like, I guess
you're
so.
Wearing a Patriots hat.
Right.
Uh-huh. You're a fan.
I'm a fan of Patriots.
Yeah. But you are famously not a fan of college yet. You're wearing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. Sure. I guess it's somewhat hypocritical. I don't know.
What do you like about K-Sulb? Or K-Sulb?
Well, I like the logo. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of nice. Like, that's got a little Long Beach on there. You know, I have some affinity to the campus because I've been on the campus many times for various things. And also, I like that their baseball team is called the Dirtbags. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Funny.
So this is California State University, Long Beach.
Yes.
Long Beach.
Yes.
There's three representations of Long Beach on the hat.
Yeah, right. We're gonna have to send out a picture of this so that we can clarify what's going on here. But it's got CSULB in a large font, and then in a smaller subscript font over the top of it. It also says LB, and then it also says LB again on the side. So yeah, they really want you to know
like
it's affiliated
scale
with Long Beach.
Do you think you might? Where do you think you rank in the representatives of Long Beach?
What do you mean among famous alums?
Yeah, I mean like I wonder how like Snoop and others would consider your
right.
Would they be happy that you're a representation of Long Beach as well?
Back in the day, Billie Jean King, very
King.
Famous a Long Beach citizen.
Are the Sublime guys Long Beach? Or are they just like are they even further down?
Yeah, I think they're from Long Beach. I mean, okay. They certainly claim an allegiance to Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're all I don't know where I
What's
mean,
the deal with Long? I'm interested.
Come down there sometime. It's a lovely town.
No.
No, just describe it.
Just describe it.
It's not far away. It's like 45. It's like a 45-minute drive.
Is there an actual Long Beach at some point?
Yeah, there's a beach called Long Beach.
Oh.
But it's not like a beach you'd go to, really.
Mm-hmm.
There are like better beaches. But yeah, it's a nice town. Come on down there. There's lots to do, lots to see. It's like it's kind of like a smaller LA. It's got the same sort of thing. You know, it's got the more some more urban areas, some more suburban areas. It's got a lot of good food. It's got lots of sights and sounds.
Will you show me your grave plot that you've picked out?
Oh, I'm donating my body to science.
Oh, wait, is that true?
Yeah, probably.
There's some things that we do want to figure out with you.
Rutherford, you're also from Southern California, Thousand Oaks specifically.
Yeah, Thousand Oaks.
And my understanding, we talked a little bit before, you know, we were having our meal in advance. You're a big Carl's Jr. fan, known as Hardee's, east of the Mississippi. What about Carl's Jr. makes you someone who's got an allegiance to this particular chain?
Well, I really am a big fan of the barbecue chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a very heavy child.
Right.
I was like a fat kid. So then once I
kind of... Were you really?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, I was a fat kid. And then I kind of grew out of it and I started playing sports. And I wasn't terrible at all the sports, but I got very active. So then I...
Mm.
So I still have a very, like, weird relationship with food.
Right.
I feel like that's there, could always be there.
How long were you a fat kid for, if you don't mind me asking?
Till like seventh, eighth grade.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ooh, we kind of had an opposite trajectory there.
We just switched. Yeah. So I, for whatever reason, it's like a whole wheat bun. It's got grilled chicken. I felt like this is the healthiest fast food item you can get.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And that's, it was close to the high school. We could, you know, get off campus passes, very easy to get to, get some Carl's. And we'd play, I showed you, to play games with the table numbers. You flip them around, do flips and tricks with it.
That I was intrigued by, because this number flipping game was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, can you walk us through this number flipping game? Because we're talking about the little triangle-shaped placard
like a sandwich board. Like,
yeah.
There's many sandwich boards on tables.
Yeah, that you put at the end of your table so they can bring you the correct order.
Yeah. So at Carl's, everybody gets their own. It's
right.
Also like kind of a hybrid restaurant, because it's fast food, but they bring it to your table.
Yeah, which I like.
I like that, too. Mm-hmm. So... You just basically flick it when it's standing how it should be. You flick it. You got to get at least one full rotation. If it lands straight up again, that's a point. If it lands on the side, like on the A-frame,
mm-hmm.
that's 2 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
We saw you pull off a one-pointer, and it was pretty impressive.
You could have said he pulled off a two-pointer.
You could have said anything. You could have said anything. Right.
Well, I wasn't going to lie. The one-pointer, I thought I was dazzled.
It's interesting to know that this aside that you said, this aside about this game, which I was like, oh... Interesting, had Weiger fascinated, and I feel like he was thinking about it the entire meal, it turns out.
Yeah, I was.
And you didn't even try flipping it.
No, I was going to fail. I didn't think I was going to do very well.
Is that why you, when we left the restaurant, you started bawling? We can go back and play it if you want to.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get some Doughboy like numbers made up.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, more funny. Shit to sell.
Also, at Carl's
Jr., no one wants.
Did you, my Carl's Jr. anyway, and I think all the ones I've ever been to would have actual salt and pepper shakers at the table.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we got a little bit of that at today's chain. I mean, they have some things on the table that are sort of set for you. It's kind of like hybrid diner, hybrid fast food.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say even more so in the direction of Carl's than Carl's Jr. Hardee, which kind of I feel like just puts their toe in the water in terms of the diner aspect of things. But before we get into this chain, as someone from Southern California, like, what is the, outside of Carl's Jr. Hardee's, like, what is the food that makes you think of home? Like, what are your kind of your favorites in terms of?
I think I know the answer, too. You want to say it at the same time?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Burritos. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I think I think classically it's In-N-Out. I'm not a huge In-N-Out fan.
Right.
So, but if I'm, like, out of the state and I'm talking to people, they're like, oh, In-N-Out, man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, when you get home, you're going to have an In-N-Out? It's like, no, I'm probably not going to seek out like a subpar burger when I get back to my home.
Wow.
In-N-Out?
Oh, this is heresy.
This is huge for him. I like where you're going.
Here's the thing. You said In-N-Out makes you think of home. I was like, oh, this guy is a big In-N-Out guy. And then now you're saying you're kind of lukewarm on it.
I'm flipping on it a little. I just never seek it out. Like if an In-N-Out is across from a McDonald's, I'm going to In-N-Out.
Right.
But I don't go, you know what I need right now? In-N-Out. I'll do a burrito or I'll get like a taco truck stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go McDonald's over In-N-Out any day.
Really?
No, not an NDA. I mean, I like In-N-Out. I give it a hard time, but I agree with you in some respects that people really build it up.
People,
quite a bit.
It's very way too hyped, and there's always a line. Doesn't matter what time of day. Yeah.
Although that line moves fast,
it does move fast.
Oh,
well, I like that they got touchscreen. They're taking orders in advance.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how that speeds anything up.
Their line management skills, I think because there's a little bit of time because everything's freshly prepared to order, it gives them a little bit more lead time to get each order ready by the time you get up to the delivery window. But their line management skills, both in the drive-through and in store, are pretty impressive. The way that they sure. kind of, you know, get through everyone, there is a crowd. Their workflow.
Like the idea, there's always a crowd. Here's what else I will say about it is the amount of people at In-N-Outs from the time they're open till they close makes me think, like, does everyone in California eat a burger a day? Like, so many people eating burgers every single day at In-N-Out, like, at all times of the day, huge line. It's crazy to me. Are people always eating the burgers?
I bet you 80% of that line is tourists who think so. They're like, we got to try In-N-Out.
I mean... 80% might be a little high. I think there's certainly tourists who go there. I think there's a lot of loyal locals.
Relax.
You see a lot of working class families there.
Numbers.
We got to change the subject because Weger is losing it.
This is fine.
I also applied to work at In-N-Out in like high school and didn't get the job. So there's a bit of beef I have. Bit of never frozen beef.
Did you forget your prayers? Is that?
I didn't bring my cross. I wanted to be a short cook. I wanted to
Like
I wanted to be flipping salt shakers around and do tricks and stuff.
That's great.
Yeah.
They should have hired him.
That'd be badass. I would love to have that skill set. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry they passed you over.
It's all right. But then I went and worked at Cold Stone Creamery. And did a lot of tricks.
That's a fun one too.
That was real fun. Yeah. I was flipping the spades around, tossing mix-ins back and forth with my buddy. Good time. Cocktail.
This was high school age?
Yeah, this was I went to junior college. This might have been like 17, 18.
Okay.
I might have been just out of high school.
Right. But this was as these jobs go, this one was actually pretty fun.
That one was really fun, yeah.
Like you said, like cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. So me and my buddy Kevin would get shifts together, and then we'd have 15-minute breaks, and we both had fake IDs, so we would go into his car and drink tall boys that we had, and we would get catch a little buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'd go back into the ice cream parlor. And we would just there's always a line. It was so busy, so crowded. We would just toss brownies to each other. And at some point, so there's a ice cream shop filled with people.
Yes.
Just wall to wall people everywhere. Everybody's excited. They're playing the jams. You're singing tip songs. And somebody orders a brownie and I go, yo, Kevin, I need a brownie. And then he takes the tongs, tosses a brownie high up from one stone to the other stone. I catch it in a cup, makes it in. People are losing their goddamn minds. And then every so often, can't
this
do it all the
like,
time.
This is like cocktail.
Yeah, we wanted it. And then at some point, somebody would order oh, I'll have sprinkles mixed in. Hey, Kevin, can I get some sprinkles over here? He flings the spoon of sprinkles across the whole store. Sprinkles are everywhere. People are like, these guys are out of the control, total lunatics. Yeah, not every time we do it. Sprinkle, but 7 times.
So, and I feel that's not even functional. That's just for pizzazz.
Right.
I feel the Cold Stone, the people, the owners or whatever, the Cold Stone creators, I was going to say. The CEO.
The
founders of Cold Stone.
The founders.
The founders. They're going to hear this story and tear up because we were in there and Cold Stones are not the same anymore.
Really?
They're not drawing the crowds they once were. The novelty's kind of worn off.
I feel like a lot of them aren't the big metal
flagship store.
The slabs, I feel like when we were there, weren't they just tiny slabs?
Yeah, they've downsized the slabs a little bit, I guess, to save on granite costs. And then instead of greeting you with flinging toppings across the room, they're just sort of giving you a shrug and a heavy sigh when you make your order. It's a much different vibe in there.
Wow.
That sounds like a good time though.
It sounds like the best of times.
It was super fun. It was really great. And I met my first girlfriend in that Cold Stone.
Wow.
And I gave her ice cream and then I grabbed her hand and kissed her on the hand. And I don't do that. Who does that? But that's how confident I was with the spades in my hand standing over that freezing marble.
So this wasn't a coworker. This was a customer you wooed.
Yeah, she went to high school with me, so I knew her.
Right.
And then I was being very flirty and handed it to her and gave her a little smooch on her hand.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we dated for 6 years. So.
Damn.
That's so cool.
I don't think you can make claims like that anymore. I regret, maybe that should be edited out.
Yeah. You might be in trouble.
Yeah, maybe.
You might still be in trouble for the girl you dated for 6 years for kissing her hand that.
Yeah.
You know that movie? The movie Cocktail was supposedly based off of the founder of TGI Fridays. Because, TGI Fridays used to be a cool singles bar in New York before it became franchised into this family-friendly chain restaurant. And the... you know, flair bartending, as we know it now, tossing the bottles around and doing those fast pours and everything, was a lot of the innovation largely of this guy, and the guy who worked at the guy who created TGI Fridays and his bar staff.
That's very that not crazy? As cool.
It's not nearly as cool, right?
Wow.
So you and I met. I was trying to think of our history together. I met you at
Cold Stone Creamery.
At Cold Stone Creamery, and you kissed my hand. I was smitten, and then we started doing. I met you at USC. When we were doing sketch comedy, do you remember that we did like a big sketch comedy show together
at USC?
Yeah,
was this a birthday boy? Was this not?
Yeah, it was Birthday Boys and Good Neighbor. You're from a very funny sketch group, Good Neighbor.
We did. Was it like at Bovard? I don't remember what this show was for though. Was it like a fundraiser? Or
maybe
something?
A fundraiser or something. I feel like that was the first time we really kind of
probably
met you guys.
But I don't think we were in college anymore. This must have been after the fact.
I think it might have been, maybe was after the fact. Yeah. Or maybe it was like your first year out or something.
Yeah.
But a very funny crew. I did an Inside SoCal with you at one point.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
I think it was the biggest failure of your guys as a sketch group.
No. Those have like real hardcore like fans of those. Not as many yet.
I didn't realize that you've always been a California guy.
Yeah, I lived in New York like for a couple of years at two different times in my life, but I grew up in California, went to school in California.
Okay. Yeah. And like Nick said, as far as food goes, you didn't mention burritos, but are burritos, tacos, are those like your main go-to California foods or what?
I feel like for me, it's definitely taco truck tacos and a breakfast burrito.
Yeah,
like, a good breakfast burrito. But I think down south, like Southern California, Southern California, like San Diego, it's all about burritos.
Yes.
Big burrito culture.
There's kind of an interesting, it's almost like you, much in the way that a flour tortilla wraps around a burrito, there's kind of a burrito, the burrito poles at the north and south end of California, and then kind of in the middle, it's kind of taco country.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You might more like around LA and around Central California, there's more tacos. You go down to San Diego, you go up to the Bay Area, they're all about burritos there.
And that's because, just like a burrito, the top and bottom of burrito, usually is where the juices have accumulated. Those are the best bites.
Yeah.
They are. Top and bottom of a burrito are the best. The middle of the burrito, it can be a little too much mush
going on. Too much mush. Yeah, there's too much give, but sometimes you got some knotted up tortilla top and bottom, so you get some nice texture. Yeah.
But sometimes it can like just be sour cream.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I just got a big bite of sour cream and tortilla.
Sometimes that's not too bad.
I like when it's just like chicken water at the bottom. That's what I want.
Right.
A little like a shot glass of chicken water. Yeah.
So my question to you, spend some time in New York, the age old question. Do you like New York food better or L.A. food better?
Ooh.
We ask every person who's ever lived in New York this question.
Which is all of our guests.
Which is, it's pretty much
everyone we have on the show.
Except for Nick and I.
Except for,
I like living in L.A. a lot better than living in New York. It took me like years to realize that, but now I'm convinced that the quality of life here is so much better.
Right. Yeah.
But I really like halal food. I like, like there's really good late night options for just like getting like some chicken and rice.
Mm-hmm.
Or a kebab. So, and we don't really have that out here. So,
yeah, there's some good stuff out here, but it's a very large Persian population, a very large Armenian population here in LA specifically. So there's some good options, but it's a little different than what you get out in New York.
Yeah. You got to seek it out here. I mean, that's the issue with everything.
There aren't just the carts that you can just get, you know, like a really good gyro from at any time of day.
Yeah. And I miss those because they're everywhere.
Right.
Or even get, because I'm a big kebab fan. Like, I love a skewer. I like a satay.
Yeah.
And you can get those just on the street. You got to really seek them out here. Got to go to the right Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Thai food. A lot of great food out here.
Great good food out here.
I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry, Nick.
What do you like better?
Nick raised his hand. I'm an East Coast food fan, but I think Los Angeles has some of the best food on earth.
It's a great food city.
I've said this before. You raised your hand like almost like a classroom.
No, I wasn't raising my hand. Did it look like I was raising my hand?
Were you stretching your hand?
I don't know what I was doing.
You raised your hand like this.
Did I really?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize
maybe,
I was doing
maybe
that.
Maybe you were stretching your fingers. It threw me off completely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you had like some sort of question.
I didn't mean to disrupt your thought. No, this isn't like a classroom setting. Just raise it. That's not a thing I'm going to start doing.
I think you should. I think that if you have a thought, you should.
All right, I'll start raising my hand, and then we'll take recess, and just for fun, we'll play Heads Up 7-Up.
What is Heads Up 7-Up?
You never played that game?
No.
Heads Up 7-Up for sure.
Yeah, Emma knows what it is.
Oh.
So you put your head down, put your thumb up.
Oh.
Somebody and comes and taps your thumb.
Taps your what it is. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I actually don't remember the rules really beyond that.
I think that's it. And then like one of the tappers is on the... If you got tapped, you stand up and you have to identify your tapper.
Oh, you try to guess who the person was who tapped you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every time you tap, you stand up. And then by the end, is it the last person left has to guess who's... How does it work?
I don't know. But I cheat. Did you cheat at it?
Yeah. You're just peeking all the time.
Yeah, you peek. Exactly.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you peek at people's shoes. That's the whole trick.
Easiest game to cheat at.
Yeah.
You're cheating?
You have your head down.
Everybody's
and you open
cheating.
Your eyes.
You accuse the Patriots of cheating all the time.
I admire the Patriots for cheating.
God.
I think it's good that they're exploiting the rules of the game.
Were you a strange elementary school? I just imagine that you were a strange boy, Weiger.
I think I was an all right kid.
That's not what we asked. Strange boy.
I don't know how strange I was. I think I was okay.
I think I was like... you have a huge smile on
your face. I don't know how to respond to that. I had friends. We hung out.
You're still smart. It seems like you're lying.
I played kickball.
I feel like a strange boy. Like you had a weird pet or something. Like, did you have a chinchilla or?
We did have two turtles.
Okay.
Mm. That's not that weird.
That's
turtles
that
are
weird.
Fine.
I feel like I was like right of the level, like not cool, obviously, but like the level above the kids who got made fun of. Like,
yeah, I know.
Just ever so slightly above the kids who got. Made fun of.
Were you like a floater? Could you like float in between?
I could float, but oh yeah.
Like I was friends with the cool people. Not
in the pool, you're a sinker.
No, yeah.
I was, this is back. You're talking back when I was this. I was very thin and blonde hair.
Oh, right.
And this
right.
is, I was very fat and still the same hair, but yeah, like I knew the cool people. I wasn't the cool people, but I knew them.
Yeah.
And I knew like kind of the weird kid, like the Weigers.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah.
I could float around. So I.
I would like talk to Weiger about his turtles, but then also talk to Adam about the baseball game that he crushed over the weekend. You know what I mean?
I could do that. I could do that as well. I wouldn't want to talk to the Weigers as much. Well, Weiger specifically. But I remember there was like a time in elementary school. There was this kid, Chuck. He's a great kid too. Mm-hmm. But in elementary school, he had a hard time. Uh-huh. And he used to draw mazes. And then like you would do his maze. And as you were doing his maze, he would do like sound effects for like he would do like music. Weiger is smiling, thinking this is cool.
I'm trying to find him on Facebook.
That's amazing.
This kid sounds great.
So he'd start his maze and he'd be like, like he would do music. Yeah. And like you
this
were
kid
like,
would be my best friend.
Yeah, no shit. But I remember they were like when I was in fifth grade, like at one point you wrestle. There was like a wrestle thing,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was like Mitch wrestle Chuck, and I was like, all right, I'll wrestle Chuck, and Chuck like wiped the floor with me, like beat the, like fucking destroyed me, like, and I was like, all right, I'll wrestle. Like I thought I was gonna be cool, and he just fucking destroyed me. It was nice.
Was this like a PE thing or just like
it was a PE
like
thing.
A weird purge that your school had.
There was like they literally blew mats outside. I feel like never again would it happen now in 2018.
But in Quincy, Mass, in the late 80s, early 90s, kids were just wrestling each other. Some would go on to middle school. The others would go to juvenile hall.
That's true.
I'm remembering now, there was a kid named Matt. I don't remember his last name, but he was kind of like a shy, sort of weird kid. Yeah. And then we went to we kind of knew, and everyone was just like, oh, that guy's this shy, weird kid. And then he went to a different school. And then years later, I ran into not Matt, but some friends who went to that different school. And they were like, oh, Matt's the coolest now. He's made himself, he had a gimmick. He's Matt the Tool Man. And he was
Hold on a second.
He was going around
Tim the Tool Man.
He was going around doing Tim the Tool Man. He was just like, ooh. He was just like the. When Home Improvement was like the biggest show on television, he was just Matt the Tool Man. That was his gimmick now. And then he was like into like fixing things. He like actually had tools and stuff. And he just went whole hog with his gimmick. And I was like, oh, good for him. He found something.
Matt the Tool Man.
And he would go, huh? Like you would do Tim Allen stuff?
Oh. Yeah. Talk about things needing more power. He'd talk about his Binford. Right,
sure.
5,000.
And this guy was
Wilson.
Yeah.
He was much cooler than you, this kid?
He, like, ascended the social ladder because he became a tool guy.
Oh, my God. You know, I was reading up on, the, you know, the Roseanne, the new Roseanne series
yes.
came out. I was just reading comments on it. That's all. I won't state my opinion on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you did write all of Roseanne's dialogue, right?
That's insulting for, like, a couple different reasons. I wrote the sleep apnea scene that starts this. There are a lot of people in the comments for like a Hollywood Reporter thing. There was a lot of Last Man Standing. People were like, that's why they took away Last Man Standing.
Right.
And then there was like a thread of like 1,000 comments about Last Man Standing and how it got unjustly canceled.
Why did it get canceled? Because Tim the Tool Man?
I think maybe that was a part of it or something.
It could have been, yeah. I mean, it was on
politics?
The air. It was on the air for like 6 or 7 seasons. Yeah. I don't think there was a good reason for it to have been canceled because it seemed to be doing fine in the ratings, but the suspicion was it was politics. But clearly ABC's swung the pendulum in the other direction now.
Yeah. But it was so crazy to see like a list of like 1,000, like
right.
so many
army
people being
fans.
An army of fans who fucking loved yeah. Last Man Standing.
Hey man, middle America, it's a different world.
Tim Allen did. What did he do? He killed a man.
No, he was a coke dealer.
Yeah, he snitched on it. He ratted on everyone and sent like 18 people to prison in a cocaine ring.
Oh yes.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He just ran over Wilson in The Simpsons. Is what I was thinking right. of specifically.
Right. So we got to get into the this week's chain, Nick, but I want to talk before real quick.
Oh yeah.
You recently went on a Star Wars VR experience.
Oh, yeah.
And Mitch and I were both very excited to hear the details of this.
Well, I am way into VR stuff. So
are you really?
Yeah. It's weird. I just like, I'll see, you know, there's that IMAX VR thing next to the Grove.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's like, it's like an arcade of all VR stuff. And so,
oh, crazy.
But this is similar to that. It's at the gallery. I think there's a couple over other places across the country, but you go in with 3 buddies and you're undercover stormtroopers and you can see, like, I look at you and you're a stormtrooper and you can wave at me and I wave at you.
Uh-huh.
Look at Mitch and he's a stormtrooper?
He'd be in a stormtrooper outfit, yeah.
Would I be a pudgy would I look bigger?
I don't know if it definitely like scaled the height because my really tall friend, Nick, another Nick, went in and he was a taller stormtrooper.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's cool.
But it's like you see your hand and it's like you see your fingers moving around in a little stormtrooper glove. So it's amazing. And you're walking around, you're not like sitting, you're walking around this like kind of set that has stuff mapped on it.
So you look over at Mitch and you're like, that stormtrooper's getting shot real quick.
Yeah,
it's a big target.
Pretty much. And then it took us probably like 2 minutes, yeah, I would say 25 seconds before we just started blowing each other and jerking each other off, right? Because like, immediately, like that droid from Rogue One or Rogue Squad or whatever it is, comes over and is like telling us what we have to do. And it's like my friend just walks over, gets on his knees and starts blowing him. And we're like, and there's nothing funnier in the world.
Right, right.
And so you're just like, I have no idea what they said to us. I don't know what the story was, what our mission was. Because we're just like, you just see your stormtrooper buddies like curled over laughing on the floor. Because that never gets old.
Right.
And
that's so funny too, to be so excited to do this thing. And then all the information is just out the window.
Yeah, nothing at all. And it was really fun. And we did it. And you fight like Vader at the end. And then we're out and we're like, oh man, that's fantastic. And they're like, yeah, we watch you guys the whole time. And I was like, oh, we're really sorry about the blow jobs and the hand jobs then and stuff. And he's like, oh, everybody blows each other. That's the first thing everybody does. Like they literally are like watch like, okay, like a checklist, like okay, right. They're blowing each other. Oh, they got their blasters. They're shooting themselves in the dick. Great. Everything seems good with these guys. Like, it's all the same shit. We're all dumb monkeys.
Right.
Who just want to do gross stuff.
So many millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of man hours invested in perfecting this state-of-the-art technology, and that's what it results in.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys just sucking each other off.
Why are you going to get over there?
It's pretty fun. But also that
have you ever seen a stormtrooper suck itself off?
Okay. But then it's like, you know, there's this tiny little layer of virtual reality. Like, in our eyes, like, you're wearing a stormtrooper costume, so, like, it's totally cool. But from an outside perspective, like, I'm just sucking your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like anybody else is like, those guys are just sucking each other. Like, to us, we're like, hey, this is so silly. It's like, right. No, you guys are, this is not cool. Yeah. Anyway, check it out.
It's cool. It's if you're having fun, it's cool.
It's fun.
We gotta go.
I'll gladly go again.
Oh yeah,
we gotta go. Let's go. I'm 100%.
Once someone else was in, I'm in. Have you seen Ready Player One yet?
No, not yet.
Ooh, you'll like the Oasis. Is all I have to say. Yeah. I have seen it.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did not see it in 3D. Okay. I don't like 3D.
I don't really either. But I heard this one's okay for 3D.
There is, I won't spoil anything, but there, who said this? Either Danny Jelinek or Charles Ingram said it was like the craziest thing he's ever seen, which I maybe agree with. But there is something that happens. Just remember when they get to the second key, just remember that.
And there's something.
There's like one of the craziest things I've ever seen in a movie. It's not a great movie.
Crazier
it's not
very than Josh good. Gad having sex with Q-Bert and Pixels.
Crazier in a different way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's really crazy. Mm. I'll probably tell you because you don't care about spoilers.
Yeah,
I'll tell you later.
All right, tell me off air. I'm very interested. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into Farmer Boys.
Yeah.
So, Rutherford, this is a chain that only exists really in California and Nevada. It's only been around for about 35 years. It doesn't have a ton of history, and it was actually created by, literal farmer boys. These were guys who grew up on a farm, and they're like, let's start a chain restaurant that uses has a sort of farm fresh concept. What was your interest in it? I know it's a place you said you went to in college.
I think because I found this in the back of a magazine once in college.
Yeah.
And it looks very quaint. Like the artwork is kind of bad.
Right.
You know, it's like something's off here. And yes. I was like, I went out of my way to check it out, and it was a good burger back then, but I just have never been, and now they've expanded, or I haven't been since, and they've expanded a lot.
Yeah, they have about 100 locations today, and yeah, it has really rapidly expanded, like you were saying. I'd been years ago a couple of times, and I'd gotten a salad. Apparently, you and I were there a little bit before Mitch, they have a big sign that says their Cobb salad is their number one seller, which you pointed out, which is weird. But I think it actually had that salad before, and then I had just like one of their standard burgers. But this was over 10 years ago. But I remember enjoying both meals, so this was a bit of a return for me. So this isn't a place you went to a lot. This isn't like your Carl's Jr.
I went a handful of times because it was like downtown next to it used to be downtown next to like the American Apparel like factory outlet or something.
Okay.
That's all I remember is that it was always there. But I remember thinking like again this weird relationship with food. Like this is better for me to go have this fresh food.
Sure.
Than, you know, whatever shitty, like, cafeteria food was at the college.
Right. And it really is, like,
When you said you were there a little before me, did you mean today?
Yeah, today.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, you were running a little late.
You were running a little late.
I got there at 11:48.
It's fine. We were waiting just a couple minutes.
10:48.
It wasn't bad.
And what time do we say to meet there?
10:45.
10:45.
Yeah, you're a few minutes late. It's fine.
Are you sick fuck?
We weren't waiting that long, but we made a little bit of small talk, and some of that involved making observations about the environment we were in.
Well, are you making your small talk? I was back here prepping.
Nothing was set up when we got here.
Yes, it's but there was things happened. I had never been to Farmer Boys.
Yeah,
The way that I even saw that Farmer Boys was a restaurant was on the Postmates app one time where it was like Farmer Boys popped up. I was like, what the fuck is Farmer Boys? And I still don't know really.
Yeah.
The answer to that question. What the hell is going on over there?
I got stuck.
You got stuck?
I crossed my legs in a weird way and I can't. Hold on, let me move this.
God, you definitely were the weird fucking kid. You got stuck in your chair?
Yeah, I was, because you've got like this, I'm really up against the wall here. Hold on, there we go. Okay.
And this is a real intense kind of thing that I'm holding this table.
Yeah, there's this concrete pillar underneath.
Nick wants me to get a new table.
Yeah. Sorry, I got my legs kind of jammed up in there. It was a little uncomfortable. It's resolved now. But yeah, so this place is, it's kind of like I'd say, if it's in between like a Carl's Jr. and a Denny's. It's kind of like trying to do both, mm-hmm. but it's also like the like it's a little bit more expensive than both, and also I think the ingredients are maybe a little bit better. But yeah, they kind of have, like you were saying, like we were talking about earlier, like they have table service. They have those little number cards. They bring it out to you, and they have some things on the table. And then I see the interior for where we were. I'm kind of out of breath now from untangling myself.
I've been out of breath too. Is it from that meal? I feel like
I was too. But I mean, it happens quite a bit. But I really was feeling. I was feeling it.
Like I'll just get two sentences out, and then I'll be like.
Right.
It's this farmer boys inside us. But the aesthetic is very weird because it feels like it's trying to be like something you would stumble upon on a road trip.
Yes, right.
You know, because everything looks like it's made out of like old crates kind of. But on top of that, there's now the signage is like very professional. There's like an advertisement for themselves on every inch of that place.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of a quaint message like hand cracked chicken eggs are better than. They may be more work, but it's better.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Like, it's all, like, patting themselves on the back, and, like, I'm just like, I'm already in here.
Yeah, like, fresh food makes you, like, yeah. Tastes better. All that sort of, like...
Yeah, the big thing is, like, farm fresh food isn't fast food.
Right.
I like when they apologize out of the gate of, like, it's gonna take a while. Like, we know you're used to people have perfected this somewhere else, but we're still working on it. So I don't know. That gets a weird vibe. It's like super corporate, but then trying to be really quaint and hometowny.
It is. Yeah. It's very strange. It feels in a little ways like when you're watching a movie or something.
It's like a little bit. It's like a little bit Panera, but a little bit Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
A little bit like country down.
But if you were watching like Road Trip or something.
Yes.
Where they go from Ithaca University, mm-hmm. which is not Ithaca College. Also, for the reason I went to Ithaca, by the way.
Because of the movie Road Trip?
Road Trip.
Whoa, that guy goes to college and has sex with a woman.
Little did I know. If on the road trip, they stopped at a Farmer Boys, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what it looks like a movie.
Yeah.
It looks like such a movie. Fucking restaurant. It looks fake. It looks like it looks like a set.
But you want Horatio Sands to come out and bring you a sandwich, at, you know, after walking around with a piece of bread in his pants.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a great movie, Road Trip.
I just watched it recently.
I feel like
got some good jokes in it.
It holds up.
And it also it's like not like a. I feel like a lot of like kind of his like his movies specifically became kind of like douche to for lack of a better word douchey.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's kind of like got a little bit more heart to it. I feel like
Todd Phillips. You mean?
Yeah, especially for like a college sex comedy or whatever. Yeah,
you want more of that, less War Dogs.
Hey, give me War Dogs. War Dogs is okay.
Yeah,
it's not good. It's like his attempt to be like a Martin Scorsese movie.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's not great. But anyways, my point being, before you made fun of me over and over again, is that it feels like it's like a fake weird thing that I can't even classify.
Right.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And it's not even like it doesn't feel like you were saying, it doesn't feel like that cheap. It doesn't feel like a cheap version of that. It feels like it feels expensive. It feels like it is like an actual thing.
Yeah, it's like nice.
It's nice. Yeah.
You were pointing out, Mitch, because we're at the Hollywood and Western was where the location we went to. That's the intersection where we went to this Farmer Boys. And it's like actually one of, if you're inside, it's like this is one of the nicer things in this area. It's like it feels like very, it feels very homey,
very
even though
clean,
it is very
put together.
Right.
I mean, not that napkin, but. That you know,
yeah. There was a napkin that had a little bit of guac on it.
Yeah, just on our table, but it was in the napkin dispenser. Like,
man, that guy who reached for that napkin must have had so much guac on his hand.
Right. I wonder if he reached for a far napkin and then he like some dripped onto that or something. Or mm-hmm. I don't even know how this happened.
Yeah,
but
that also means that the guac was like on the back of his fingers. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
On his knuckles. Like, because it got the next napkin in.
Maybe he dipped his hand in guac or something.
He probably ran out of chips.
Yeah.
Was just doing some, you know, just some
just
handfuls of guac.
Classic, yeah. Well, that's what you do.
Right.
Run out of chips. But it's also like, the weird thing about Farmer Boys to me is, it's like, they have like signs like, we did farm...
we did farm to table before it was cool. So the whole thing is like, this is farm fresh food.
Yeah.
But every food item is not really like, I don't picture that as like farm food. It's like mostly burgers.
Yeah. Sure. You don't picture them as like killing the cow on the farm.
That's
not
a farm. Like it should be like corn on the cob. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like it's like, it should be veggie forward and it's not at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think that I think you're right. And I think part of that might have to do with what people think of as farm to table has kind of maybe changed over time. Cause you know, this restaurant started in the early 80s. And like, you know, that was before any sort of these, that was before people were even worrying about seasonal ingredients at all. So I think they were just sort of like, oh, we'll just take fast food down home meals that people already like. We'll take these dishes that people are already comfortable with, like your burgers and your breakfast burritos and what have you, and then we'll just make them with a higher level of ingredients and a higher level of care. That's what I guess is the ecology behind it. And they haven't really evolved their menu over time. It's like it feels pretty. I mean they've certainly added items, but it doesn't feel wholly different from the version
it's
I remember
fairly
from years
basic.
Ago.
Yeah, I mean a lot of the sandwiches seem new to me, or from what I remember. But also I think a new thing on the wall is they have. And this is like at really nice places, I think. It's usually like, we support these local farms. And they would have, you know, where their produce comes from. They had this on that wall.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. And it, but I was like, Haas avocados. Like, that's a huge avocado.
Right. It's
like Jolly Green Giant lettuces. It's like, wait, these are like the biggest guys.
We support Safeway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey.
I will say this, though.
Yes.
Got breakfast options, lunch options, and dinner options, and it's open 24 hours, which I had no idea it was open 24 hours. That's insane.
Yeah, this location anyway.
And also, Hollywood Boulevard, we touched on that just for a second, but Hollywood Boulevard is kind of shitty in many ways. It's just kind of like, can be a little bit grimy.
Right, yeah. Grimy is the right word.
Yeah. And so for a place that's open 24 hours and looks decent in there, you know. I mean, I know this isn't the bad section of Hollywood Boulevard. If you get closer to down by the Kodak Theater or whatever.
That annoying touristy area. That area is awful.
Yeah.
I like this spot, and also for me, for my personal benefit, steps from a train stop.
Yeah, very close to the metro.
Took LA's lovely metro here.
And you were actually a few minutes early.
I was a little, actually, taking train from Santa Monica beat Mitch driving from his apartment, which is literally 5 minutes away.
Yeah, it's a 3/4 of a mile away in a car.
11:48. I walked in at 11:48.
10:48. Right.
Sorry, I got that wrong, too.
I was helping you out.
I think you could have walked here faster than it took poor Nick to take the train all the way.
Look, there were some things to do here.
Right.
You know what? I'll talk to it when we get to our segment later. You're like, what's his name from Road Trip? And I'm like, Stifler.
Wait, who's he then? Finch?
Yeah, he's the guy who jerks off in his room all day.
What's Which guy is that? I don't remember. That's not the DJ Qualls character. Yeah. Oh, I'm like DJ Qualls?
You're like DJ Qualls.
What is his name? Is it Finch? Or is that from American Pie?
No, Finch is American Pie. Oh,
okay. And you also said Stifler, which is not the Sean William Scott's character.
So I'm Sean William Scott's character. Right. Also,
he's the jerk in it, though.
No, he jerks. I mean, they all jerk. I think they all jerk off.
He gets jerked off, right?
He gets milked.
He gets milked.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, he gets prostated.
That is more like Wacker. he gets really into getting prostated at one point. you were okay with being the DJ Quails character?
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, that guy gets lucky.
He does. He loses his virginity on that road trip.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get into the food.
You're not lucky in that way. Okay, let's go.
So I got the California BLT, which was a very, very standard BLT on white bread, lettuce, tomato.
And I'll give you props for getting a lunch option for 10:48.
Let me tell you this. 10:45, you're right on the cusp of lunch. I felt like by the time we got our food, it would be 11. That's about, I feel like, about the earliest lunching hour. That's what I felt like. But, you know, I'm curious what our listeners think. If it's about 11 a.m., are you going to get a breakfast or are you going to get yourself a lunch? Hashtag late breakfast or hashtag early lunch?
I don't know about the early. I feel like it's got to be at least noon for me to get do the
yeah,
lunch.
Yeah, I will always push breakfast as late as possible, but never do early lunch.
Right. Yeah. I like an early lunch. I've had lunch at 10:30.
Well, for you, this is basically a 10:30 a.m. is midday.
Yeah, it is.
You wake up at 5.
Right.
You go to bed at 8:30 p.m.
I stayed up till 10:15 last night.
10:50?
10:15.
Oh.
Are you an early riser?
Yeah, I'm an early riser, yeah.
Oh, you the time that when I was like 8 years old, I'd cry about when my parents tried to put me to bed at 10:15.
So the California BLT, it had, you know, as you might expect with the word California on there, had some avocado, but I would say it was less of an actual sliced avocado and more of like a guac slash avocado mush, which was
you were
fun.
Not happy
kind of
about it when it came.
No. I mean, it was like an avocado spread. It wasn't. Uh-huh. It wasn't quite, yeah, you know, what I would have rather had some whole avocado on there, but it was fine. The bacon, I thought, was really nice. I could have used a little more mayo on that bad boy. But overall, a very good diner quality BLT. I thought this was very much right down the middle. It delivered. I think I would have liked it more without the avocado spread. I got that comboed with the chili cheese fries. I think those chili cheese fries, and they tossed some raw onions on top. They you have that option. I thought those chili cheese fries were quite nice. A very, very meaty chili. I thought the fries had a good crispness to them, and they have like the perfect sort of they're the perfect sort of size and density for like they're kind of like this mid-sized fry. They're not too skinny and not too fat. They're not quite steak fries, which is really good in terms of retaining that chili and cheese. I thought those were really nice. Just like it's a huge portion. It's like an insane to have that as a side. That's like a whole meal, which is I guess a weird complaint to have, but I thought that was the upgrading your fries to chili cheese fries is just know what you're getting yourself into. And then we got a bunch of stuff to share for the table, but let's get into your guys' meals first. Rutherford, what did you have?
I think it's called the Sunseeker sandwich. Or
Daybreak, I have
the
written
Daybreak down. Yeah. Breakfast sandwich, which I love an egg sandwich. Right. So like it, you have to really fuck it up for me to not like it. And this was very good. Two eggs. Kind of fluffy. I'm out of breath again just like thinking about this food. Like fluffy. It was like a scrambled egg. You know, it wasn't like a fried egg sandwich, which I kind of prefer a fried egg sandwich, but it's fine. Cheddar cheese, really great bacon. I don't think there was any spread on the bun at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on, I forget what they called the bun, but it's like that potato bun.
Right.
It looks like challah bread.
Yeah.
It's not challah, but spelled challah.
Yeah.
It looks like that, it's that bread that has like dust on it. It's got, I guess it's flour. I don't know.
But yeah,
it's
I know
like,
what you mean.
You know what I mean? It's
I think that is like a potato roll.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. And the problem with that potato roll is there's like inconsistencies in how thick the bread is because of the peaks and valleys everywhere.
Right.
It's got like dunes. It's got like natural dunes to it. And that's where it tends to want to break. If I could do it over, I would have said just put it on sourdough bread or that white bread.
Yeah.
It also looks moldy, that bread always.
Yeah, because of the weird dust on it.
The little flour dusting.
Yeah. I told you I had that reaction before on a previous episode. I had some of that and I thought it was mold, so I tossed a perfectly good sandwich, not realizing it was a type of bread I was unfamiliar with. Toasted potato bun. I looked it up on the menu. That's what it says.
Also not very toasted. I think it should be a little crispier.
Yeah.
It was good. It was fine. It was actually, we also had a burger. It was better on the burger, but it was a good, everything inside was good, but just get it with sourdough or white bread.
Right.
So I got the breakfast burrito, which I said that this place looked like a movie set, and then this burrito tasted like a burrito you'd get on a set. Like in the way that it tasted good and fine.
Right.
Like it was like, oh, this is like does taste fresh. I would give it to him. I'm like, oh, the eggs taste like fluffy and nice. The cheese is good. I just wasn't like blown away by the actual taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want sausage instead of bacon, and maybe should have gone bacon.
The bite I had, I didn't like the sausage. The bite of yours, I had.
Yeah. What do you usually do? This is a big. I was going to ask this. What you get in your breakfast burrito? Sausage or bacon?
I generally
or
would
ham.
Go.
You can go ham too.
Let me tell you, if you got chorizo as an option, that's what I'm going with.
Oh God, for really breakfast burrito?
Yeah, chorizo. I like chorizo.
I feel like it's too much of a wild card. Like it varies so much from place to place.
Yeah, you'll get it some places where it's not great, but you have it places where it's good. It's great.
And when it's good, it's great.
Yeah, but I think I'd probably be more. I'd probably lean towards sausage because it's more substantial and that's like a pretty hearty meal. And I feel like sometimes that bacon doesn't, you know. Sometimes I also feel like that makes for awkward bites if you're going through that burrito. I don't know. What about you, Rutherford?
I go bacon, but only because I feel like it's consistently dependable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's such a sad thing, really, now that I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm not even going to risk it. I'm going to go what I know works. I'm not going to risk doing sausage. Because like a really good ham or really good chorizo is good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I won't even let that be an option. I just want to know this will be all right.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll get a bite of bacon and then you'll pull out and you'll just pull like a vein of bacon out of your burrito.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
Oh my God.
You don't want that. But I'll say this. I had a bite of your breakfast burrito. I think that was my favorite bite.
Wow.
Because I never get sausage. So when I finally had that taste of sausage, I was like, oh my God, why am I cheating myself.
Wow, you had a very different.
And I had the end. I had the naughty butt end of the burrito. Yes.
I was. Like, really? I thought the burrito was. You didn't like the burrito. It sounds like Nick.
I thought it was good. I think the bite of sausage I had, I felt like it was like a little off. But I don't know. Maybe I just got an odd bite now. Like it sounds like I'm very much on it. I had one bite. I mean, I'm very much.
There
on
was pico
here.
De gallo like in the middle of the burrito, which like kind of didn't do much for it. They should have just given you like.
It's, on the side or something?
Yeah, on the side or giving you, or just honestly, another salsa option would have been good, like it's like a verde or something.
Yeah, it's weird to toss salsa in that burrito sometimes because I don't know. Yeah, sometimes often better just to layer it on yourself.
Yeah, or just have like a Cholula on the side. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just hot sauce it.
I'll tell you what my best bite was, but also I was like laughing at like how normal the cheeseburger.
Yeah, so we got. Let's talk through. I'll speed through all the stuff we got for the table, and we can give our takes on these real quick. But one of those was the natural cheeseburger, which is basically it's just their burger, but the In-N-Out, the beef is never frozen. Everything's antibiotic free. They're very very, very much talking through the ingredients on the quality of the ingredients on the menu description, in particular on this one. So just a very standard cheeseburger with lettuce and tomato. We also got a 4-piece of their fried zucchini, which are big honking zucchinis.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're huge. And you hear 4-piece and you don't realize how giant this is going to be. We got a regular cookies and cream shake, and then we also got some hash browns. And you guys had some orange juices to drink. But that natural cheeseburger I thought was really good. And yeah, that might have been, I mean, they've got there's a lot of Thousand Island on that. There's one thing worth noting. It's a pretty dominant
My
flavor,
bite wasn't too Thousand Island heavy, but.
But yeah, it might have been either that or one of the really good chili cheese fries bites was my favorite bite. It is a very, very good burger. And I think like if you're going to Farmer Boy's once, I think probably the burger is the thing to go with.
But they have the natural burger, which is a little more expensive than they have their regular burger. So I think you got to go natural.
Yeah, even though go natural. Absolutely.
Was like, go natural.
Yeah, Rutherford saved our
ass on that, Weiger. You almost blew it.
I ordered a regular burger and she said, do the natural burger. She was correct.
No, Nick said.
Oh, Nick said, and then she said it was much better. You're right. Yeah. It was a 2-step thing.
But you, early on, you were like, I think I'm going to get that natural burger, the one that's antibiotic-free. And then you were like, let's get the other burger. And I was like, what? This guy's lost his goddamn mind.
I panicked.
This guy's flip-flopping on.
Right.
Hey, you know what? In those 3 minutes there, you're there early. Fucking look at this sign.
We made the right call. It was good. That was a very, very good burger.
It was good, but also very standard.
Very standard,
just like, I don't know, because there's no, like, they have a barn burner, which looked exciting, which I think has fried jalapenos or something.
Right.
Like, now I think I need some, like, crispy onions or something on a burger. You know, I've just had so many burgers, I gotta change it up.
It is a little plain, I'll say that. Like, I was laughing because it was, like, such just, like... If I went to like a little restaurant near a farm, I feel like I'd be like, oh, this diner, this burger is what it would taste like, but in a good way.
Yeah.
It was all the food was, the quality was good, but did like the taste like wow me or whatever? Not really.
Right. Yeah, I'll just say the zucchini for me, like they had a good crispiness on the outside, but they're so thick. And the moistness of the vegetable retains so much heat that biting into those, I felt like I was getting it was just like a too much a punch of just like scalding like steam from those bites. Yeah. I don't think it was particularly pleasant. I think they should just cut those down a little bit, not try to blow you away with the size of those zucchini sticks and give you some narrower ones.
And that's the smaller order.
That's the smaller order. Yeah,
was it 4 or 8?
Yeah, it's 4 or 8.
That's
they're
crazy.
They're gigantic. Yeah. And then the cookies and cream shake I thought was fine. It was a fine shake.
Yeah, it was
for
fine.
$5 shake.
Very cookie heavy, like gritty. Like,
right.
It's like drinking like a face scrub. Like a lot of microbeads in it, you know.
It really it was hard to get some up through the straw when I was drinking it.
Yeah. It really was. It feels like you need a little McFlurry spoon.
That was, I mean, like there wasn't anything I had that I thought was bad.
There was nothing bad. Well, let's get to our final thoughts. So, Rutherford, here's how this will work. We'll go around the table. We'll each sort of give our closing argument, if you will, your sort of general assessment of this chain, and then you can end with giving it a fork rating from 0 to 5. So, you're our guest. We will begin with you.
Okay. Farmer Boys, it's clear that these Farmer Boys know what they're doing with this fresh food, but maybe the Farmer Boys need to hook up with some Spice Girls because... they could add a little more flavor to it. So I'm going to give it 3.5 forks.
3.5 forks. Okay. Yeah. Good score. Go ahead, Mitch.
As a boy, I used to go to Sandwich, Massachusetts on the Cape Cod.
Is this a,
you can put music over this, yeah, right? Yeah.
Sandwich, Massachusetts was a town.
Oh, town. Okay.
Yeah, no, I know. Trust me. As a little kid, I was excited to go to Sandwich, Mass. Thought I was going to get there. There'd be a giant sandwich or something.
They put the sheriff at the border because they knew you were coming. Don't let that kid in.
They thought I was going to bite into the ground, yeah, or something. And my family, my godparents' family, we had the we rented a cape house, and it was right near a farm.
Mm.
And I'd go to that farm and I would feed goats.
Sounds idyllic.
And say hello to the goats there, and pet the goats. Watch the goats running around in their little pen, and then I would.
It's a lot of goat stuff.
I feel like we're heading towards an equus direction here.
The goats, young and old, kids, I think, are young goats.
Mm.
Billies.
Anyways, there were goats there, and
you know, be fun to kids movie. Billy the Kid, but he's like a gunslinging little goat. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be really that's fun. Actually maybe your best idea of all the movie ideas you've pitched. All
right.
I mean, there is no plot right now. It's just the idea of the character.
Well, you can see it. It's like Air Bud, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
But like a Western.
Right. Like kind of a Ferdinand sort of arc.
So does he kill? Does he shoot people?
Yeah. He violently murders people.
Oh.
Kind of like Reservoir Dogs.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, like it's really, the gun violence is really great.
Wait, what about that? Reservoir Dogs, but they're actual dogs.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, and they're meeting up after a heist.
we get some stuff from the farm, some fresh fruit sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like, here's the deal with farm to table. It's just, a lot of the times, especially here, it's just a thing that like, where I'm like, oh, I love the idea of it. It's very expensive a lot of the time. And today our meal also was pretty expensive for what we got.
We got a lot of stuff, but it was expensive.
We got a lot of stuff, but it was also kind of expensive. But I love farm fresh food. I like the idea of a countryside. I just don't know how strong of an idea this place is in total.
Sure.
I think that the food is decent, but it's not like a thing that I'm going to crave to go back to too much. I think in a way, like, I'm like, oh man, that is like fresh food, it's good. If I was in a jam, it seems like a good place to go to, but I feel like I never really will. I guess the convenience factor that is open 24 hours is big, but the food was decent. I had a fine time. It was clean in there. A strange place. I'm gonna go 3.5 forks as well.
3.5 forks,
yeah,
very good score.
I would say, the convenience thing. Because if they had a drive-through at that location, I drive past that corner all the time. If they had a drive-through and I can get like a breakfast sandwich and like iced coffee really quick, I would do that over a Starbucks any day.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But you got to park in that lot and you're going to be harassed on the way in or out by somebody. So
right.
It's a lot.
I think I've seen locations with drive-throughs, but they don't all have
them,
and that's kind of a negative of this particular location. I'll just say that the service was great here. They were super friendly. They were super nice, very accommodating. Asked if we needed anything else. Brought us extra forks for the things we were sharing. I thought the service was exceptional, especially for a fast service order at the counter place. And I will say I largely agree with your guys' assessments. I mean, the food is great. It's not mind blowing. Like it's like a definitely a higher caliber of food than what you get at Carl's Jr. Hardee's. But I'd rather go back to Carl's Jr. Hardee's because Carl's Jr. has a hook to it, and this place just kind of just does all the classics and does them to a high degree of competency with good ingredients. But it doesn't blow my mind with anything. So I think for that reason, I'm going to the hand-holding club with this one, 3.5 forks as well.
Wow.
I don't have any lengthy anecdotes about my childhood spent on farms, frolicking with goats.
Yeah, a lot of goat talk. So,
but I'll just sort of keep it simple and say this is a 3.5 fork. This is the definition of a 3.5 fork place. It does everything well, but it doesn't, it's not like
you never met a goat or a pig or anything like that?
I've met some farm animals.
Yeah. I told you the time where I was in Eastover, I think I've said it on here before, and we went horseback riding. And I was on a horse that was like young and horny.
Did you know this? I
tell you this. And the horse went off and chased another horse.
Mm-hmm. And you were on top of the horse?
I was on top of the horse, yeah.
And you were like, so you had a- come back. I can help you out.
No, it ran with me on it.
Oh, okay.
It was a traumatic experience.
Oh, wow. You didn't get fucked up. Almost in a threesome with two horses.
Close, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
But farm life is nice.
Right.
It's a nice thing. And I, you know what? It is good to support local farmers. That's a good thing.
Right.
I feel like you're right in the way of like, what's the deal with this? What is the deal with this place?
Take a cue from Mitch, farmer boys. Get some horny animals in there. Yeah. Horny barnyard animals.
That'd be
in
cool if there was like chicken, like live chickens walking around in there. Put some farm stuff in there. A tractor you could sit on.
Honestly, if there was a bit more of a, they could easily just make a bit of it. There's a bell. We didn't mention the bell on the.
There is a bell.
Yeah.
For good service. In Rutherford, you rang the bell.
You rang the bell, which I think kind of says it all.
Yeah.
If they do well, you ring the bell. But that's kind of, they're punishing you because the bell is right next to, it's right at face height.
Right.
And it's very loud.
It's super loud.
Yeah. Super loud. And like people eating, I feel like it's like, yeah, don't like it.
I don't think anyone likes it.
No one really likes the bell.
The bells are silly. And hey, it's a farmhouse. Have a triangle, not a bell.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Punch it up, guys. Oh,
one thing I will say, I like that it was metal silverware.
Right.
That is reusable plates.
Yeah, that was actually great.
Yeah.
I'll say this. This place is a little branding and one like big signature sandwich or something away from being like a four-fork restaurant.
I agree with you. I think that's absolutely fair. I think they just needed to do a little bit of plus up there.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Rutherford, thank you so much for making time for us. This, we know you got to go. Do you have anything you would like to plug at this time?
Star Wars VR.
Star Wars VR is great. I'll go anytime with anybody. I'll do it over and over again. We can do all sorts of simulated sex acts inside. Check out, I think you said it, check out Dream Corp LLC on Adult Swim and check out The Unicorn when that happens.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
We'll take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Doughboys.
Mitch, did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? You know, before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 10 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for more than 15 subscriptions each and every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about.
Wow. Wags, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Doughboys Patreon, the Doughboys Double, bye-bye.
Mitch, I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you themselves, Wags.
Wow. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Wow.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/doughboys.
Do it. Today's episode of Doughboys is brought to you by Helix. Wags, I've had a Helix mattress now for 6 years, maybe 7 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. It was pre-pandemic, I know that much.
Man.
I know. And you know what? My sleep has greatly improved. I love my Helix mattress. It's like a cloud. Wally and Irma sleep in there together. They love it. They don't want to leave the bed.
Cute.
I don't want to leave the bed. Probably bad for you. You know what? Anytime I'm late here, blame it on Helix.
Wow.
I'm sleeping away.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, Wags, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night, which is a problem for me. I heat up.
Problem for me, too. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support.
Wags, I took the Helix sleep quiz and I was matched with a Moonlight Luxe mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and soft, just like me.
Wow. And not only is the mattress the best you've ever slept on, but the setup was fast and easy, as you were telling me. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free.
You know what? Ross Kimball helped me set it up. Good guy, Ross.
Shout out to Ross. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty, depending on the model.
And now Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/doughboys and use code HelixPartner20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Helix Partner 20.
Hey, Mitch, this ever happened to you? You walk into a store, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bottle of wine. But what the hell do I get?
Wags, it happens to me all the time. I get wine anxiety. I don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores.
How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen, costs, and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
As a result, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines at huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker.
Wags, I got sent a box of Naked Wines, and you know what? It was delightful. I had a few people over the Oscars. I was popping reds, popping whites. Everyone was satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they sent over a Chablis, they sent over a nice Burgundy, they sent over a Chardonnay, sent over a Cab Franc, they were all winners for me. Me, I personally like the Cab Sauvignon they sent over. The wine is so good, and it's such a good deal.
They tell me they were sending over a Burgundy, and I said, uh-oh. You ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, you worried it was Ron Burgundy, but no, it was the wine. Naked Wines has been around for over 10 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part, every bottle is a passion product from an independent winemaker, so you are literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true.
Wow. So head to nakedwines.com/doughboys and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in doughboys for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included.
That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/doughboys and use the code and password doughboys and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99.
One last time, that's nakedwines.com/doughboys, code and password doughboys for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Do it.
Welcome back to Doughboys. Nick Rutherford had to take off. Just me and Mitch now.
He didn't like the show. He left.
Right.
What we always fear has happened.
He basically, like, we started talking up top, and then he started making the wrap it up gesture, and we're like, okay, we take this as a sign.
You something, Nick.
Oh, boy. Fuck.
It went through your hands.
I was going to...
And then... It hit your hand!
Hold on.
It hit your hand!
You tossed me 2 sauce packets. I whiffed both of them. I was going to remark about how earlier... Oh, this fell on the floor, and I think now has cat hair on it. I might stay away from the sweet
Palmerston.
And
sour. It's wrapped. It's not like it's a ball of open sweet and sour.
All right, I'll think about it.
What?
Well, I was going to remark earlier, we had like a really good connection.
Okay.
We're downstairs, uh-huh. And you were like, hey, go, because you had to take care of your laundry, but we knew we had people waiting outside, so you're like, hey, go open up the apartment.
Yeah.
And you tossed me your keys, and I caught them.
You did, and also this is very funny for you to brag about this because it was like a child catching like a ball.
I thought it was pretty slick.
It was like you had both hands together. I tossed it like the keys were in slow motion in the air. They were so slow.
You tossed them underhand.
I tossed them underhand.
It was a nice angle I could get underneath them.
And it was like the coolest like like Tango and Cash. Is that who was like the who were the cool like Starsky and Hutch or something?
Oh boy, it was. Do you have a reference after 1986? Like a Fast and Furious sort of thing. Yeah, right?
It was a Fast like the keys went over the car. It's as close as we've ever gotten to the Fast and Furious,
right?
Which was embarrassingly pathetic. but you did catch it, and I think it was the first time I ever threw anything to you that you caught.
Right. This was a disaster. The barbecue sauce and the sweet also, and sour went through my hands.
I was getting this place prepared. We had a rush schedule today.
Yes.
And then you bring up the fact that I'm 3 minutes late.
I wasn't even trying to make a thing of. I didn't even bring that. You brought that up, first of all. I said that.
No, you said I was there a little bit before with Nick. A little bit before. A minute?
We were waiting there about 3 to 5 minutes. It wasn't that long.
She was barely there before me.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't that big a deal. I wasn't even making a big moment out of it. I was just saying. I was some
prepping
context.
This place for the fucking podcast.
What does that entail?
I have to fucking clean up. I have shit here because I have shit all over my table. I have work on this table, and I had to put the cats in the room. I had to do a few more things that did cost me 3 minutes.
Let me just say that
God damn
by
it.
This point we were several weeks removed from the finals of Munch Madness, and I got in here and the first thing I see is the Dave Thomas Cup on the center of your dining table.
Yeah, but everything else was gone. There was a lot of shit that was on here earlier. Right. Also, by the way, I don't want the fucking cup in my house.
All right, I'll get it out of here.
Throw it in the trash.
I'm not going to throw this lovely piece of art in the trash.
Anyway, let's get to the segment, which I also went out and got last night.
Actually, I wasn't even... I didn't try to turn this into a confrontation because you did take care of this, so thank you.
Fuck off.
Hey, it's time for a regular segment. We have a fast food item that Mitch bought yesterday, and we're going to test how it held up after spending a night in the fridge. These are the leftovers. Yes, the theme we all know and love. The symphonic track, the title music from the season one of The Left. Apparently, they changed the music for season two.
Yeah.
So, but for the season one is what we use for this segment. So, Mitch, what do we have here? What did you get for us?
Nick, today we got chicken fries from BK. Bagok.
Right.
Right? To the bagok or to chicken fries from BK?
To both.
Chicken fries, very popular.
Right.
My ex-girlfriend loved chicken fries. Mm-hmm. Chicken fries are good.
Yeah.
They're not bad. I'll say this.
To me they're too I'll let you finish your thought, but just real quick, they're just like they're nuggets I can buy even though that's like a freak like manufactured, you know, food even though that's not a real food at all, but they look enough like meat. Chicken fries are just a little too Frankenstein for me.
Interesting.
But go ahead.
I feel like I get that less from the chicken fries than I do from nuggets, but that's
I don't know. I just don't feel like they resemble real meat at all in their straw form.
I got them last night at BK. They truly, I thought, smelled like shit when they were in my car.
Right.
I was not excited about this. We've now put them in the fridge overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in there, piping hot. Here's the thing. We microwaved one batch.
Mm.
And one batch, we will eat as is.
Okay. So, this is nice. We got a control group.
We got a control group. I'm going to take a fry.
Actually, I guess a real control group would be like a fresh batch, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, whatever.
Emma is going to join us on this. She has to eat these chicken fries.
Thank you, Emma.
Dipping and sweet and sour from BK.
Okay. So this is the microwaved one?
These are the microwaved ones.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm doing a little barbecue sauce here. Like I said, I'm skittish about the sweet and sour because of the cat hair situation.
Oh, my God.
They're definitely very chewy after a night in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, extra chewy. The crispness is... I mean, that's always going to be an issue with reheating something in a microwave. It's hard to get them crisp again. But they still have a decent amount of crispness.
It tastes a little
exterior.
Stale. You know... I'll say this. You can taste the oil more.
Yeah, they are very oily.
You taste the oil a little bit more.
And you're passing over the room temp, the refrigerated ones
these,
now,
these
right?
are refrigerated ones, yeah. So thank they're you, actually Emma. Not even room temp. They're probably cold.
I'm going to brave this sweet and sour. If I get a mouthful of Wally or Irma's fur.
It didn't get inside the container.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen here. All right.
God. I got an opinion coming up.
All right, I'm trying these now. This is interesting.
Maybe cold is better.
Cold might be better. I mean, I like cold fried chicken. Like with cold pizza. And you know, honestly, like a cold cheesy pasta or cold lasagna. I kind of prefer it to the warmed up version, the reheated version. I feel the same way about fried chicken, so it stands to reason that I might feel the same way about chicken fries.
They are
the
very
kind of works.
They are very cold. Maybe if they were just like a little bit more room temperature, it would be better.
Right. But it's not bad, and certainly they don't have the oil issue that you mentioned with the reheated ones.
Yes,
I tried them with both the barbecue and the sweet and sour, so it's not just the sweet and sour sauce. It's definitely, I feel like the cold ones are a little better. Emma, what do you think? Our engineer Emma.
I think I agree. I think the cold ones are better. I don't know what the microwave did to them, but I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever like tried cold fried chicken.
Oh,
I don't
it
know
works.
If I can say it's a favorite, but it makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
into it.
Yeah. I don't know, but that said, okay, the cold are better, but are either of these being left behind or, wait, what is our system again? Left behind is bad, right?
Left behind is bad.
What's the other, ascending to heaven?
Yeah, we take them up to heaven with us.
I don't feel like I'm taking either of these up to heaven. I think they're both being left behind. I may be condemning the reheated ones to hell, and then the cold ones can kind of have the purgatory of wandering the earth with the rest of the leftovers.
Yeah.
But,
What do you think? Who do you think gets a hold of them in hell?
Well, let's see. There's the devil's down there,
mm-hmm.
But he's got other priorities.
There's Pinhead as well, who
Pinhead's,
we recently
yeah.
talked about.
Pinhead's in hell?
He's in another dimension that's like hell.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would you probably have to go with some historical figure who's maybe, you know, caused some trouble.
Talking to your Hitlers. That's the big one, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think this is quite Hitler.
And Little Nicky, he gets a pineapple shoved up his ass every
Hitler
day.
Hitler does?
Yeah, in Adam Sandler's version of hell.
Okay.
It honestly doesn't seem...
And that's canon, right?
That is canon. That's hell canon.
Right, okay.
Ooh, a hell canon.
Whoa, boy. That sounds like a weapon the military would use.
The hell cannon.
The hell cannon, yeah. Or like an upgraded gun in Gears of War. I'm going to say that this goes to Ivan the Terrible. Like a bad guy, but not a guy, people have kind of maybe forgotten what's bad about him. So mm-hmm. they're sort of like, oh yeah, that's a generally bad guy. He can have these. They're not great, but you know, whatever.
Mine goes to Little Nicky himself.
Oh, okay.
He thinks Popeye's chicken fucking rocks. So
right.
maybe he'll like this too. Also, Pope just said hell doesn't exist. Breaking hell news.
I think this will be a little dated by the time this airs.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah. But I think the... I've heard this
Who
was...
Who cares?
I've heard this
we
was
gotta
mistranslated.
Address it.
I've heard this was mistranslated.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've heard it's possible. Like, he might have been saying something
hell
a little bit different.
Hell still exists.
Yeah. I would act like there is a hell, because then you'll make sure to live a virtuous life.
I thought you were going to say virginless life. Which I didn't understand.
No.
I truly did mistake you for that.
Okay.
You and I are probably not. As far as that stuff goes, we haven't sinned too much. We haven't been much sinners of the flesh. Oh, I guess you have done some weird stuff.
All right.
Forgot. I think hell does still exist.
Yeah.
Even if the Pope says it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistranslation.
I read the reaction to the reaction like a few days later, and then people were saying like, oh, that's not actually what he said. He said something that's been misinterpreted.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's also funny that like a new pope can just be like, hey, hell doesn't exist.
Right.
And then everyone, it's like, well, wait, hold on a second. Like, that's crazy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how do you explain the DMV?
How does the Pope explain the DMV?
Right.
Does the Pope mobile have to be? Does that have to have registration and stuff?
Probably if it's going to ride on city streets.
So like there is someone like from the.
So the Pope can get a parking ticket.
The Pope can get a parking ticket,
and then he can just absolve himself.
You can do that?
I don't know. The Vatican City has its own laws and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why someone can do, you know, someone can do some atrocious thing in some other country, and then they get shuttled off to Vatican City, and they have immunity.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what happened to a lot of those abusive priests. Is they all got shuttled off to, or the bishops who covered it up, they got sent off to Vatican City for a lifetime appointment.
That's my religion. That crazy religion.
None of us are taking this up to heaven, right? Which, as far as we can tell, Emma's shaking her head. As far as we can tell, also, still does exist. The Pope has not said heaven's not real, right?
Yeah, the Pope hasn't said that heaven is fake yet.
Okay, the Pope says heaven is for real, and so does Colton Burpo, the little boy who wrote a book. Hey, just like that was The Leftovers. Just like a
also, by the way, yeah. I just want to say that I give that like it's like a very soft leave behind. I didn't think they were that bad.
They weren't that bad.
The reheater ones were not as good, but like we've eaten stuff that's been way worse.
I agree with you. Yeah, there's some stuff that I think is really noxious and that is just does not keep. These keep decently well. I think they've got like enough whatever, you know. I think they're. Well, I don't know what it is. It might just be the fact that they're not like this giant mass that can kind of get mushy. They're like these little, like, you know, like these straw shaped.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
items so that maybe they sort of retain their structure and character a little better at a night in the fridge.
But, where are you sending the king himself, the Burger King mascot?
What does he go to heaven or hell?
Heaven, hell, or does he stay on Earth to be the purgatory? Basically,
I think he stays around on Earth with the leftovers, and he's just sort of there to give have a good time. he plays sneak king with people, and Big Boppin, right? Whatever the other
sneak king game is was. A reference that 40 people maybe will get.
I feel like there's a few people who bought that Xbox exclusive title sold at Burger King restaurants in the early 2000s. That was The Leftovers, just like a restaurant with all your feedback. Let's open up the feedback. Today's email comes to us from Dan Padley. Dan writes, growing up, certain friends and family would put ketchup on cold deli sandwiches, an act that disgusts me to this day. Oof. In my mind, ketchup is a condiment for hot foods only. Burgers, fries, chicken nuggets, etc. Where do you guys stand on this issue? Should ketchup be hot or not?
Ketchup should not itself be hot.
Yeah.
That is just like a bad wording.
Yeah, Dan, hot ketchup, that's tomato soup.
Dan, badly worded. It should never be hot.
I agree.
Yeah. Look, I was at Subway last night.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Harmon was in there in line in front of me, actually.
Very cool.
Getting Subway sandwiches.
He gave you a cold shoulder for leaving Starburns audio.
No, we're good. We're all good with that.
But seriously, we'll talk after the podcast.
No, he's a great guy. He was getting some sandwiches. I think he was getting sandwiches for some people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I get vinegar on my sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I do turkey Swiss, some onion, and then sometimes a little bit of like the pepperoncinis or whatever.
Yeah.
Like very, very light because it hurts my stomach.
Right.
Pathetically. I'm an old man who can't eat anything spicy anymore. It sucks. But I do a lot of the vinegar.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, no calories, good to go. It's a nice little, right? As far as condiments go.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. And so no oil. But there's no ketchup in there. You know what I mean? They don't put.
Wow, this is a really good point.
They don't put ketchup in the little options for toppings. And so, when I was a boy, I would eat bologna sandwiches with ketchup. But this is like 19.
That sounds weird. You don't, knowing that now, you know that sounds weird.
Yeah, I guess it does sound a little bit weird. But also, like this is like 1987 or 88, and. I feel like a bulky roll with bologna and like some ketchup on there is like, no, I mean like bologna is basically close to a hot dog.
Yeah.
And so that's like, true. So when I was a kid, I liked it. And if like little kids like bologna with ketchup, I think it's fine. But as an adult, I'm not dipping ketchup into it. I think I kind of agree with him to a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that I feel like, your Subway argument kind of cinches it for me. Like, I think that's a really astute point that you don't see if you're at a deli counter, you're any place where you're getting a sandwich made to order.
Mm.
ketchup is not there.
Yeah.
Like, they might have marinara for, like, a meatball sub, but again, that's coming out hot.
Yeah.
They're not having, like, it's not like mustard, mayo, what else would be on there?
You steak know, and cheese, I guess you could do some ketchup.
I guess.
People, but also, I mean, that's hot.
It's hot, yeah.
It's a hot sandwich.
Yeah, it's not...
I don't do ketchup on steak and cheese. I'm just saying you could. I feel like back in the day, I maybe did dip it in ketchup.
But it's very much not a sandwich condiment, and I think it's a real stretch to try to pass it off as one.
But you know what? Ketchup gets too much hate.
People, you think so?
People are really mean. They're like, it's like a little kid condiment. And I get it. It is. But like also like... It's good to dip your fries in ketchup.
Right.
Ketchup can be good.
I like ketchup. I'll say this, and this is a thing we've discussed before on the podcast, is just give me that standard off-the-shelf ketchup. Don't try to impress me with your house ketchup.
You're a Heinz man.
Yeah, give me some Heinz. Or even some Hunt's. Hunt's is fine. Mm. But just the when you got your house ketchup that you made, it just doesn't deliver on that corn syrup flavor I want to get.
I can be okay with it, but you know what else? And you Chicago fuckers can fuck right off. Put it on my hot dog. I can eat some ketchup on my hot dog.
That's fine with me. That does not offend me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can put that on a hot dog. It's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. I do think mustard should probably be on there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you're just putting ketchup, then I'm a little, okay. Throw right. some
that's,
mustard
that's
on there.
That's fair. Emma, how do you feel?
Is ketchup on a hot dog a New England thing?
Maybe. Yeah.
Because I feel like we grew up doing that. And everybody hates on it. I don't know if it's a New England thing.
I think it might be a part of it. Maybe New England loves its ketchup. I don't know.
Maybe. I remember growing up, my dad always said that the French call ketchup the sauce violence because it's a violent sauce, because it kills all other flavor and you only ever taste ketchup. I don't know if that's true.
Fuck the French.
If you use ketchup, you pretty much taste mostly ketchup.
That is true. It's an overpowering.
It's the strongest flavor.
Very acidic, right? Like a...
What did he call it? Sauce Villon?
Sauce Villon. I don't remember the exact phrase. It's from when I was little. I'm remembering probably incorrectly. Wow. But something like the violent sauce. Like it kills all other flavors. Mm. I don't know if that's a true thing or if that was his way of being like, stop eating ketchup, so much ketchup on your food.
Right. That makes sense, though, because like, you know, Bruce Vilanch is the guy whose punchlines kill all of their comedy writers. He's just so valuable in a room.
Poor Bruce Vilanch, the celebrity I'm most often confused with. I call it sauce de triomphe.
A triumphant sauce?
A triumphant sauce. Hey, all right. Ketchup is... Leave. Look, I get it. But then also, you know what? All you mustard nuts, I like mustard too, but
mustard's
come on. Mustard's
great.
Mustard has the same fucking issues that ketchup does.
I'll tell you, I've used mustard for dipping fries. That works fine.
Yeah, okay, but you would much rather dip them in ketchup.
I'd much rather dip them in ketchup.
They
have their plus sides.
Do you ever put vinegar on your fries? Malt vinegar?
Yeah, that actually works great.
I love it.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's dynamite.
Fish and chips and vinegar, for real. You remember that song?
You sang the song before me. I learned it from you. Give me a refresher.
Fish and chips and vinegar. Vinegar. You know this.
Oh, I know
vinegar.
Exactly what you're talking about.
This is another weird New England thing.
Is it?
My dad used to sing that too.
This is like the Massachusetts state anthem.
It was like a three song thing where it was like, don't throw your trash in my backyard. You don't know this?
No, I don't.
What?
I don't know these songs. I know Row Your Boat. Row, row, row your boat.
You don't like songs and music in general.
I do like songs and music in general.
Did you not partake in like singing songs in school?
I sang all the songs.
You sang all the songs?
Buffalo Gal, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. I sang all of them.
That sounds like a song you sang on your own with no one else. Fish and chips are don't throw your trash in my backyard and one bottle of pop. You don't remember this?
Which I know 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah, of course. Everyone knows that.
But this is a different version.
Yeah.
Okay. This sounds like the PG version of it.
Probably.
Yeah, I guess so. No, because it's not like the like it's just a different song.
It doesn't ascend up to 99 bottles of beer?
No.
Okay.
Was it like a way to learn your numbers though?
I don't
know. One bottle of pop, two
bottle of pop, three bottle of pops, four. But no, it stops. Five bottle of pops, six bottle of pops, seven bottle of pops, pop, and then you say pop.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't get you that high in your
numbers. Get you that high in your numbers.
Do you remember this song?
I thought you were going to say some shitty comment about, that's how high you got, dude.
I wasn't going to do that. Do you remember? You're very nimble with adding and subtracting.
I mean, I'm very good numbers, yeah. Man.
Right, you're like that. You're like that TV series,
Num Threers.
Mm-hmm.
What song are you asking if we remember?
Here's a song we learned at camp. Today is Monday. Today is Monday. Monday is soup. The rest of the week's for you. Do you know that song at all?
No.
Today, I remember. I don't think Monday was soup. I think Wednesday was wash day. That's what I remember. Today is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. Wednesday is wash day. I don't remember the next part of it. I thought it was the rest of the week's for you.
Did they teach you another song like, Nick, don't touch the other campers?
Do you remember I Like to Eat, I Like to Eat, I Like to Eat Eight Apples and Bananas?
Oh, yeah. I Like
to Eat. That's the Raffi song, right?
Is that a Raffi song?
I think so. That was to teach you like about your vowels.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, I thought it was apples and bananas. Like, isn't it apples and bananas?
Yeah, but I Like to Eat Eight Apples and Bananas. But
wait, why are you saying eight apples?
That was what I remember. I remember that.
I Like to Eat, I Like to Eat. I Like to Eat apples and bananas. And then it was
apples and bananas?
Yeah, like you're repeating.
And then you would go, it was like apples and bananas. And then you'd go through the other vowels and it was like opals and bananas.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
It was Raffi.
Hold on. I'm going to get some closure on apples
and bananas. The number eight is in there?
I remember the eight in there. Maybe we learned it wrong. This was passed along by oral tradition. Because, yeah, I definitely remember it changing to I Like to Eat. It was not app, it was eat. So it was, we were both wrong. I like to eat apples and bananas. So you would change, you would substitute a different vowel. A lake te eight 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 apples and bananas. It got very hard.
There's probably a lot of oral traditions in that camp, I might guess.
A bunch of campers just filleting each other.
You never know. What camp was this?
I mean, these were different ones. I'm referring to Camp High Hill.
Camp Onawana was filmed right over here in Griffith Park.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Donkey Lips, Sponge,
mm-hmm.
Budnick. Right. I named three of them. Three of them. All of them right over there.
Dan Padley, just going back to your question, I think do whatever makes you happy, but I would say that ketchup should be... I personally believe that you are right and that ketchup does not belong on cold foods, and then you should keep them as a condiment for hot foods, and you should not be putting it on sandwiches. I think that's just bizarre.
Uh-huh.
But you know, whatever. Yeah. If you like that, if that's what floats your boat, then fine. Have ketchup and whatever.
I get what he's saying. It is kind of like to think of a turkey sandwich dipped in ketchup.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross and weird. If you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And hey, to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. Hey, Mitch, think fast.
I caught it with my left hand.
I threw my hat at Mitch, and he caught it.
Also,
very smooth.
Also, bad throw.
Send it back this way. Here.
All right.
Oh, my
God.
I got it. It bobbled it a little bit, but I got it. That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell. For Mitchie Two Spoons, rather, Mike Mitchell.
Thank
I'm
you.
Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya. Hey, guys. You want more Doughboys?
To get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club.
Sign up at patreon.com/doughboys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.